want to touch on some of the things I touched on during the last finale message. But let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 7 and let's stand. We're going to read it. We'll be touching on the faithfulness of God. We saw His faithfulness during the youth camp. And I want to share with you, and as we go towards the end of this year, to remind ourselves of the faithfulness of God. All right, Deuteronomy chapter 7, the fifth book of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6 to verse number 10. Let's read all of that together. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6 to 10. Let's read together. Ready? 1, 2, begin. For thou art holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because ye were more in number than any people, for ye were fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he will keep the oath which he has sworn unto your fathers, had the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him, and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations, and repay them that hate him to their face, to destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hateth him. He will repay him to his face. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, you are the faithful God. And Lord, for us who are Christians, we already know that. But Lord, sometimes in this world we forget. And towards the end of the journey of the Israelites, before they go into the promised land, through Moses, you are reminding the children of Israel that you are a faithful God. Lord, as we come towards the end of 2017, that's not the end of our life, but yet towards the end of this year, help us as believers to always see that you have been a faithful God to us. And we pray that through the message, Lord, you will help us identify areas which you want to speak to us about. And I pray that your word will be the thing, will be the instrument by which you draw us to yourself and we draw ourselves towards you. Because your word teach, Lord, for us to draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to us. And Father, in that verse we see that, Lord, you are always there. It's whether or not we are willing to draw nigh to you. So today I pray that the faithfulness of God will draw many back to you, Lord. Speak through thy servant. Fill us with your Holy Spirit for those who are believers. For those who are not Christians, I pray you open their hearts to the fact that you are still a faithful God. Even to them. And we'll thank you. We pray and thank you for the members that are here. We pray you help them to grow spiritually in your understanding of who you are as a faithful God. For our friends and visitors, may they be drawn towards you through your word that you are a faithful God. We'll thank you. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. In your Bible knowledge, some of you may know the book of Deuteronomy is a repetition of the law. Basically, it's Deuteros, which is actually double, okay? God, in his wisdom, doubled the law to Moses, or rather double as in repeated the law that he gave in Exodus. And the reason is this. The people who have left Egypt, remember, God took the Israelites out of Egypt, crossed the Red Sea, went to Mount Sinai and had the Ten Commandments, right? Okay. Now, at that time, it was in the plan of God to move this group of Israelites, 2 million in number, to go into the Promised Land so they can conquer the Promised Land. Unfortunately, along the way, in the book of Numbers, when God sent the 12, Moses sent the 12 spies to spy out the land, 12 of them went, 2 of them said, God is going to give us the land. Let's go in, guys. Let's get it. Numbers chapter 13. 10 of them said, the land is good, but there is no way we can win it. At that point of time, God said, all right, If you do not want to go in, you're not going in. From the Red Sea to conquer the Promised Land was 1 month journey. 1 month, 30 days. Okay, 30 days. How long were the Israelites in the wilderness for? 40 years. Why? Because of unbelief. And so, at the end of Numbers, Leviticus Numbers, many of the people who were supposed to go into the Promised Land died. God had to repeat His laws the second time to a whole new generation that is going into the Promised Land. That is the purpose for Deuteronomy, the repetition of the law. Because the second group of people are those people who did not come out from Egypt, but they were born in the wilderness and they are going into the Promised Land. Okay, that's the purpose. We are going to 2018. Some people have died along the way. The book of Deuteronomy is a repetition. Just give you that background. In the first four books, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers, God's primary emphasis was to show to the children of Israel that He is a holy God. I am the Lord. Many times it's repeated in the book of Exodus, in the book of Leviticus, and even in the book of Numbers. I am the Lord. That means I am the standard of holiness. Whoever who wants to come into my presence, it is not through an institution. It is not through Ambassador Baptist Church. It is not through any religious organization in the world. But it's through God Himself. Okay? And so God wanted to emphasize, God's focus was to get His children of Israel to understand the most important attribute of Himself, that He is holy. The word holy is used 149 times in the first five books of Moses, the first five books of the New Old Testament. And almost every time it's used with regards to God and the things of God. When we reach the book of Deuteronomy, at least the first time God mentions something very personal. For those who are in the verse, Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 8, for the first time in the entire five books, the first time God exposed Himself or expound Himself to the children of Israel, show Himself to the children of Israel, He said something very personal. He said it in verse 6 through Moses, Deuteronomy 7, 6. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. And the Lord thy God had chosen thee to be a special people unto Himself above all the people upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set His love upon you because you were more in number than any people. I want us to get that. Moses told the children of Israel, God loved you not because you were great. God loved you not because you were great. In fact, you were the smallest. You were slaves in Egypt. You did not deserve even the recognition of anyone in this world. But God placed His love on you. And because He will keep the oath He had sworn unto His fathers, said the Lord, brought you out with a mighty hand. Looking back to the history of Israel, as God said that personally, you know what God is saying? He's reminding the children of Israel, the reason why you are getting out of Egypt into a promised land is because I love you. If you study the word love in the Hebrew, the word love is I love without any reasons attached to it. I love you because I love you because I love you. There is no reason why I should love you, but I love you. Now that is hard for us to understand. But it's very simple when we realize, number one, God is love. When God loves us, He doesn't need any reason. I'm sure for Brother Song Ling and Sister Agnes, when you look at Elisa, right? Eliza. Look at Eliza, right? Does Eliza give you any economic value? You can. Baby show, $10 per viewing, you can. But you know, really, the baby doesn't give you any economic benefit. In fact, it taxes your economics. In fact, what? You mean, in Singapore, during our time, infant formula was only $23. And that was expensive. You know how much it is today? 900 grams, about $40 over. How many times she drink? Your breast milk. But for us, we had infant formula. It's like, wow, it really takes us. Okay? This baby is not going to go into the clinic and work for you and then get money back. There's no economic value. Why do you love the child? You love him because you love him because you love him. Because he is my child. When God loves us, he loves us with that kind of love. You know, God doesn't expect anything from us. God doesn't expect anything from us when he loved us. He loved us because he loved us. And Moses reminded the children of Israel, you were chosen not because of your greatness, because you were the least. It's because God loved you. He loved you. God's nature is love, and he loved us. Because God made a promise to his forefathers regarding his plan for the nation. You know, as I was meditating on this, I realized one thing. In the past, I used to say, I heard this message from this evangelist who said, this is the first time God mentioned his love. And that is true. God says, I love you. This is the first time he mentioned. But then when you look through the history of Israel, God has already showed his love continuously from day one. Continuously. The fact that God showed his power to destroy the Egyptians showed that he loved Israel. Does that make sense? And many times when the plagues was on Egypt, it wasn't on Israel. Why? Because it was his selected people. You know, it was God's love. Yes, it was God's power who opened the Red Sea. You know, motivated by what? His love for his own people. I need to save my people. They are my people. And I am willing to use my power. When God opened the Red Sea, do you know what he did? He opposed the natural laws of this world. You cannot open seas unless God opposed his natural laws. So God used his supernatural power in order to save his children. I want us to think of that. Do you realize it's on the same basis that God chose us as Christians? In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26, the Bible says, you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise after the flesh, not many mighty, not many poor are called. How many of you are children of millionaires? How many of you are MPs? No. How many of you belong to a higher class? No. Why did God choose you to be saved? Simply because he loved you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now God doesn't look at your status. He doesn't look at where you're from. That's why in the Ambassador Baptist Church, I don't care if you're Filipino or Singaporean, we're one in Christ. Amen. And all the cultural things that may affect us should be put away because we love one another in Christ. Because that's how Jesus loved. When God loved, look now, he didn't say you're Indian, you're Chinese, you're whatever. He says, you are sinners, but because you have trusted me and I loved you, you are my child. That's the basis upon which God called us. Now, after Moses reminds the people of their calling, he wanted them to remember one thing, which is the text for today. Look at verse 9. After telling the people how much God loved them, in verse 9, Moses reminded the children of Israel, and I believe God wants to remind us today. Let's read it together in verse 9. Ready? 1, 2, begin. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. In this verse, God's attribute is highlighted. What's the attribute? God is faithful. In the Hebrew tongue, the word faithful has the idea of a cable, a rope. Okay? I have a rope in my bench. I brought it up. But I have the idea of a rope. Why do you use a rope for? To tie, right? Okay? To tie, and then to lead or to bind something tightly. Faithfulness simply means full of binding. It means to hold tightly. Where the meaning in the Bible times states that the faithful means a strict adherence to what is true. When God says he is faithful, he bound himself by his own character of faithfulness. In other words, he cannot be anything but faithful. Does it make sense? We, in different situations, may change, not God. The responses might be different, but God's character remains the same in all situations. God is faithful whether you are rich, but he is faithful whether you are poor. God is faithful to us whether we are living for Christ, and God is faithful to us too when we are not living for him. God is faithful even though we believe in him as Christians, but God is also faithful for those here who have never put their faith in Jesus Christ as the only way to heaven. How do I know? How many of you drink water today? Put up your hand. Whether you are a Christian or not a Christian, guess who gave you the water? It was God. How many of you ate your breakfast today? I know some of you selectively don't eat your breakfast. Okay? But you know what? If you had a choice, or rather if you needed to eat food, would you have access to food? Sure you do. Downstairs coffee shop, very convenient. $3 only, I think. The Thai Peng, even cheaper. 2 weeks ago when we had, they charged us $3, but you know what? Because we bought 100 packets, they charged us $2.80, so that's a blessing. So I know who to do business with now. But you know what? Food was available. You know, it's interesting. Today when we ask people, where do longans come from? When I ask the PSLE children, there was one time, where do longans come from? You know what's the answer for primary school children? They say, NTUC. No, NTUC don't come from, longans don't come from NTUC. They came from the tree or something, right? We know who gave us the trees. Who caused the things to grow? God. Christians, don't ever forget, whether you're a Christian or not, it doesn't matter. God still takes care of you. God still takes care of you, whether you believe him or not. Children, whether you love your parents still love you. Unless you're a heartless parent, I don't think you are. Does it make sense? So when we think of all that, God is faithful. Now, I want us to notice four truths, all right, from Deuteronomy chapter 7. Number one, God is faithful to his word. God is faithful to his word. In verse number 9, know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him. God is faithful to his word. You know, when God gave his word to say, I'm with you, he promises that. Now, I'll give you an illustration, which I want to use it, because I use it in the youth camp. I want to help the youth to jog their memory, but for the rest of us, I hope it's a blessing, okay? But I'll give you a few passages in the Bible. For Psalm 119, verse 86, all thy commandments are faithful. You know what it means? All thy commandments are faithful. It means if God gives you a commandment, forgive as I've forgiven you. That's a commandment. You know why it is faithful? When God gave the command for you to forgive someone, it's faithful because when God thought through the command, he knew it would benefit you. It is faithful to his character to help you in your Christian life. When God says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, God's a commandment. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. God knew, that if you are faithful in a congregation that loves the Lord, you will grow as a Christian. We have youth today, this morning, who has to go to a church that plays rock music. But in their hearts, they are very clear, that rock music is not going to get me closer to God. You know what they need to do? They need to get out. But they are teens. And thankfully, the mother is responsive. She's going to come next Saturday. In order for us. For example, that verse at 10:25, not forsaking the assembling ourselves together, when we come to church, it's supposed to be built up in the faith. So when God considered that commandment to give to his children, he says, I'd like you to attend faithfully. Why? Because I've already thought through it. You need the encouragement from the word of God. You need the encouragement from the brothers around you. You need the encouragement when the Bible says, when two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. God is faithful to his commandments. He is faithful. He is more faithful than any human being on planet Earth. A faithful man, who can find? Book of Proverbs tells us. All the commandments of God are faithful. His word is faithful. Psalm 119, verse 138. Thy testimonies that thou hast commanded are righteous and very faithful. The psalmist said, the Lord, your commandments are not just faithful, they are very faithful. That's in the original Hebrew when God gave the word. For the youth, this might jog you, those who came. In Daniel chapter 3, verse 17 and 18, the Bible says, if it be so, Our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and He will deliver us from thy hand, O King. Just for the background of those people who may not understand the context, Daniel chapter 3, three friends, there was a big golden altar that King Nebuchadnezzar had built, and everyone, King Nebuchadnezzar said, when I blow the trumpet and the music, everyone is supposed to bow down. There were three Hebrew friends. Because they were Jews, they refused to bow down to the image. And when the king actually told them, say, look, I'll give you a second chance. Now, the second time when the music blow, I expect you to bow down. If you don't bow down, you are going to be thrown into the burning fiery furnace. And who is that God is going to save you? You know what the three Hebrew children said? Well, King Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful to answer thee in this matter. In other words, we're not anxious. In verse 17, Daniel chapter 3, they said, if it be so, our God, whom we serve, and that's a very important part, our God, whom we serve, are able to deliver us out of the burning fiery furnace, and He is able to deliver us out of thy hand, O King. Firstly, the first qualification for ever putting your trust in the faithfulness of God is you believe that God is faithful and you're serving Him. And so when you face the trials of your life, these three Hebrew children say, our God, whom we serve, is well able to deliver us out of the burning fiery furnace, and He will deliver out the hand of King. Now, question for you, where did they get their faith from? Where did they get their faith from? They got it from Isaiah chapter 43 and verse number 2. Listen to the scriptures. Isaiah was written before Daniel. And through Jewish tradition, they oftentimes passed down through oral tradition what their forefathers taught them. Isaiah 43 verse 2 said, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. This is what God said to the Israelites. And when through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the flames, fire, thou shalt not be burnt, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Isaiah was written 700 years before Christ. Daniel was written 400 years before Christ. The passage that God said, when you go through the fire, you will not be burnt. 300 years later, the three Hebrew children, our God, whom we serve, are well able to deliver us out of the fiery furnace. Where do you think they put their faith on? What Isaiah said. I dare venture that they probably heard that their God is so powerful that even if you go through the fire, God's going to defend you. You have no stability in this world unless you put your stability in Christ's words. God is faithful to His word. God is so faithful that, do you know, in Daniel chapter 3, you know, one of the things I don't really like to eat in a hawker center, that, you know, very stuffy and a lot of smoke and all that. You know what happens after that? When you leave the hawker center, what happens to your clothing? It smells of zita. It smells of the cooking, right? What happens if you are in the fire? What happens to your clothing? It should be burned, right? Or at least have the smoke. When you're, the worst thing that you can do is you go into the lift, and everyone is smoking in the lift. What happens to you? When you come out, people think you're a smoker. Right? Because of the smell has passed on to you. But you know what happens? You know what happened? For the three Hebrew children, the Bible says the smell of the flames was not even on their clothing. Neither was a hair. There was one time I was very scared because I thought my whole kitchen was going to explode. Because there was this something that I heard some popping sound when I was opening the kitchen oven. And I actually dashed out. But I got burnt some. I didn't get burnt. But what happened was, I think it was Esther Joy or someone said, hey, Papa, how come your hair so curly? You know, when you get burnt, it's interesting. Your hair actually curls up. When the fire, okay? Just, yeah. I realized actually my hair was burnt a bit by the fire. And that's why it became a bit curly. It's kind of like my hair had a perm, you know? You know what, these three Hebrew children, when they came out of the fire, the king and all the soldiers said, the three men wasn't even touched by the fire. Neither was a single hair singed. You know, their hair didn't get burnt. Why? Because God was faithful to his word. Christians, God is faithful to his word, even though we're not faithful to him. He's faithful to his word to you. When you go through the... God said God is always true to his word. He's faithful to his word. Listen to this. No one who has ever totally trusted God in his word has ever been disappointed. The promises of God is always true to his children. He's always a true. He's faithful to his word. In Isaiah 50 verse 10, listen to this. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant that walketh in darkness and had no light? You know, this is a very interesting verse. You know what Isaiah is saying? He's saying, who among you that truly fear the Lord, that wants to obey his voice, and you are walking in darkness? In other words, in your life, perhaps, Brother Johnny, I really cannot see any light in my life. I really cannot see any hope in this life. I really cannot see. I fear God, I serve him, but the things that I go through is, I can't seem to be able to see what God says. But Isaiah 50 says, that servant that walketh in darkness and had no light, let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. In other words, when it is, I don't know about you, you know what children do when they're afraid of the dark? You know what children do when they're afraid of the dark? Grab the leg of their father. Yes? Papa, I'm scared. Not scared, right? It's okay. Don't have to be scared. Okay? What do children do when they're afraid? They grab the legs of their parents. What do you do when you're afraid as a Christian? You know what many Christians do? I need to get more money. I need to build my career. Oh, I need to study more. But these all things are moving around. Right? It's not fixed. You know what you need to do when you see no future? Grab God. And by the way, if you grab God, it's always free. Grab. You know, grab taxi, you know. If you grab God, it's always free. Because you know what? You're his child. He is always faithful to his word. Number one. Number two, God is always faithful to his people. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9. Number one, God is faithful to his word. Trust his word. That my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. Okay? Number two, God is faithful to his people. Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse number 9. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments. God is faithful to his people. God is faithful to his people. God is faithful to keep his word with them that love him. When the children of Israel had to wander in the wilderness for 40 years, the Bible says, let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2 to 4. Moses reminded the children of Israel, I hope you're patient to go through the verses because your faith is not in what Pastor Johnny says, it's in the word. In Deuteronomy 8, verse 2 to 4, the Bible says, thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee, to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. He humbled thee and allowed you or suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna which thou knowest not. Neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, only but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God doth man live. Sound familiar? Who said it in the New Testament? Jesus did. You know what? Jesus had to learn the Old Testament and he applied it to his life. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell those 40 years. When the children of Israel had to wander the wilderness for 40 years, the Bible says, when you were walking in the desert and had no food, who fed you? God. Who gave you water? God. You know, I did a calculation. You know how many gardenia loaves, jumbo loaves, that God actually had to send to the children of Israel to feed 2 million people. Okay? For us, one family, one jumbo loaf is one meal. Divided by 2 million. Okay? How many loaves would that be? Thousands and thousands of loaves. It is calculated. You know those train cars? You know those train, right? Train, you have this carriage, right? It will take 520 carriages for every meal to supply the children of Israel. Do you know how many gallons of water God has to give every single day for 40 years? Per day, let's say one person drink 1 liter, okay? Maybe 2 liters, okay? 2 times 2 million is 4 million liters for one meal. Well, not one meal, maybe one whole day. God had to supply 365 times 4 million a day. How much is that? Over 120 or 1.2 billion liters for one meal a day, for one day. Which means over the 40 years, God supplied over 50 billion gallons of water in the wilderness for his children of Israel. God is faithful to his own children. There is nothing in your life that God is not faithful to. There's nothing that you will ever need in your life. Ever need, not even want. Ever need. God is so faithful that he will supply everything. My God shall supply all my needs, all thy needs according to his riches in glory. When Paul said that, he was in prison. But even in prison, he was sure that God is faithful. There is no situation, if you are walking with God, there was no situation you are in that God is never faithful to you. In the worst situation, in your pain, in whatever that's happening to you, God is continuously faithful. Even though the children of Israel were under judgment. Okay, this is very important. The children of Israel, listen. The children of Israel, why did they have to go through the wilderness 40 years? Because they were disobedient? Because they had no faith? Because they were rebelling against God for not going to the promised land? Some of you here, may I be personal, are not walking with God and you choose not to. God still provides your needs. You know why? He is faithful to his own people. Does that encourage your heart to say, God, am I really hanging on to something? I know it's against you, but God, you're still loving me. You're still faithful to me. You're still so kind to me. You're still so, I'm still in good health. I can still pursue what I want. Even though I know I'm against you. Does that ever cross your mind? That God is so faithful that even the children of Israel is under judgment, God still provides the need. Christians understand this. That God is faithful, he says he's faithful, means he's faithful. Every parent here, even though you lost a job or you don't have money, you do all you can to support your family. You know why? Because God wants us to be a faithful man. Amen. And that's something that we need to understand. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was thrown into the furnace of fire. Okay, remember? Just now I said they refused, right? They refused to bow down. So what the king Nebuchadnezzar did? Throw them into the fire. In fact, the king was so angry. He said, I want this fire to be heated up 7 times hotter. So if it's 100 degrees, fire don't burn at 100 degrees. I need to look at Asher now. Fire burn at how many degrees? We don't know. Okay, never mind. Let's pretend it's 100 degrees. Nebuchadnezzar said, I want it to be heated up to 700 degrees because I'm so angry with these guys. And so they were thrown in, bound, into the fire. Let's read Daniel chapter 3, what happened. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took out Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now it was the soldiers that threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in, they got killed. Okay? And these 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished. And he said, did we not cast 3 men loose into the fire? And the man said, true, O king. Behold, I see 4 men loose, and a fourth is like the Son of God. God is faithful to his people. When you go through the fire for him, he stands in the fire with you. He's faithful. We saw the faithfulness of God in the youth camp. camp workers were tired. But God was faithful. He gave us good health. You know, we could have fallen sick, you know, because it was raining and all that. And some people were nearing, some of the campers were also a bit. But God was faithful. We had no major casualties. It was sprained your ankle, I mean, scratches, these are normal. Got bitten by mosquitoes, got frightened by rats, you know, these are normal. But God was faithful. God was faithful to provide every need that we ever needed. God is faithful. When you go through the fire and remain true to God, God goes into the fire with you. I don't know about you, but I believe some of you have testimonies that know that when you in the fire say, God, I choose to remain true to you, you knew God was with you. God is faithful to his people. Do you know that even when you go to testing and even discipline, God does it in faithfulness? Psalm 119, verse 17, 75, the Bible says, I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. Even if you go through the discipline of your life and you realize God is dealing with your heart and dealing with your life, you know why God is doing it in faithfulness? You know why? Because God, in his love towards you, has this thinking. If I may share what I believe is in the heart of God. If my child continues this direction of sin, he is going to get into big trouble. And therefore, as a parent, as much as I do not want to do it, I need to afflict him so that he can be drawn back to God. Some of you know what I mean. And I encourage you, God is not sentimental like us. He's very clear. He will do everything it takes to bring you back to him. And sometimes he may need to afflict you so that he can draw you back. That's why the psalmist says, in faithfulness have you afflicted me. Does that make sense? God is faithful to his people. God is faithful to his people. He who has chosen you to be saved hath made you his children, now says to you, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. God is with you. In the nighttime when you cry, when there's tears down, when you find that, where am I supposed to find help? The Bible says, I'm with you always, even unto the end. He's faithful to his people. 1 Peter 4:19, wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to God in well-doing. In other words, keep doing the right thing. I encourage you, if you are going through the hard times in your life now, don't stop what you're doing for God. Are you listening? Because that's what the Bible says. If you're going through the hard times, don't stop. Some of you have stopped doing things for God a long time ago. I was telling the Sunday school, the measure of a Christian is what it takes to stop you from serving God. The measure of a Christian is what it takes to stop you from serving God. You know what Peter said? He said in 1 Peter 4, therefore let him that suffer, you're going through the hard times, according to God's will. Make sure you're suffering God, according to God's will. If you're suffering because of our own mistakes and pardon the expression, the foolishness of our decisions, then don't blame God. Then you need to submit to the chastening hand of God. But if you truly are walking with God and you're going through the hard times, you know what Peter advised you? Commit the keeping of your souls to him in doing the right things, in well-doing. Does that make sense? So as you're doing right and you're being scolded, or even as a Christian, and you, or maybe not scolding, but the things of life seems to, why am I serving God? Some young, you know what are some of the challenges of the younger believers today? Why am I serving God and giving up, and while the older people are just not following Christ and they seem to be okay? Those who go through that, the Bible says, commit your soul unto a faithful creator. Interesting, right? A faithful creator in well-doing. In other words, keep doing the right thing. If it's right, it's right. Right is always right. And wrong is always wrong. And the wrong doesn't become a right. And the right doesn't become wrong if you change. If you're supposed to do right, just do right. People may not agree with you. If it's right, do the right thing. And Peter encouraged them, even though you may face all the things of this world that is against you when you do right, commit what you're doing to God in well-doing. Keep doing the right thing. God is faithful to His word. He's faithful to His people. Number three, God is faithful to the end. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9, He is God, the faithful God, that keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love Him and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations. God keeps, God is a faithful God to 1,000 generations. You know, I always like to compare this. In Exodus 20, the Bible says, visiting the iniquity of the fathers to the third and the fourth generation. Fathers, your sin, if you're not repentant of, can be visited upon your children to the third and fourth generation. In other words, this is so serious. Our children imitate our lifestyle, and if it's not changed, it will affect them and their generation and the next generation. Okay? To the third and fourth generation. That simply means in every generation, we may have secret sins and all that, but if we're unrepentant of and it slips out, our children see and copy our pattern. A simple example. I don't think it's important to be in church on Sunday. Let's just say, all right, just an example. I think it's not important. Some people may think it's not important. The children will get that. It's a real life example of a pastor where the children, not me, thank God, and not the pastors we know in Singapore, but an American one. The pastor, it's just that this particular child had this very important competition on Wednesday. And Wednesday night is prayer meeting night. And as a 14-year-old, he asked, Dad, can I be just excused for one time? It's just for this finals. It's so important, you know. You know, Dad kind of, after a bit of question, okay, just for this time, right? 17, 16, 17, 18, 19 years. So after a while, the child didn't want to come to church. Father asked why. Dad, remember that night you allowed me to go? Showed me that it wasn't very important to me. It's a real life situation. I know it cuts to the grain of some of you as pastor. What's important to you will be important to your children. If following Christ is not important, when they grow up, it's not going to be important. And therefore, sins will be visited to the 34th generation. But it can be repented of and put away. I just want to highlight that for us to remain true to God at every point. But you know what I want to compare this with? In Exodus 20, I will visit your iniquity. If in judgment God says He can judge, or I can judge you for the third and fourth generation, that is the limit. But you know, when God says I'm faithful to you for 1,000 generations. You know what He means? God doesn't want to hold His anger forever. But He wants us to get right. By this says I have a limit to my patience, I will deal with sin. But God says, when I'm faithful to you, it is forever. It's to 1,000 generations. God is faithful to you. I'm reaching 50 years old. Some of you are older than me, praise God. I have an evangelist mentor who is actually Ron Comfort. Some of you, he's a personal friend of mine. I'm thankful for how he tried to help me in the ministry. He's about 78, 79 years old. I always remember this. He will always preach, I'm too near the finishing line to give up now. He's about 79 years old. He knows maybe some physical problems. He may, brow cloud. You know, brow cloud is very serious about brow cloud in Nepal. That sister, besides coming back from, I think I learned this from my son, Jeremiah, and says, he is so serious about training preachers. You know why? I don't know how long I've got left. He has no time for nonsense. If you want to play a fool with Krishna, he just tell you all. He say, I've got no time for nonsense. Time is limited on my side. I may die the next day. In fact, he had a very serious illness, I think a few months ago. It nearly cost him his life. Thank God, God brought him back. He knows he's living on borrowed time. But you know, our God is faithful to the end. Our God is faithful to the end. You know, the question is not whether God is faithful, it's whether you will be faithful to the end. Some of you have given up the faith. Well, you're coming, but you have no heart for God. No heart at all. When I say heart for God, means the Bible is still important. Church is still important. Winning souls is still important. Praying is still important. Surrendering in sin, away from sin, away from sin is still important. That's what it means. But these are important to God. But God is still faithful to the fact that you're still alive today and here. You know what God is saying? Give me another chance. Because I love you. Just as a parent always gives a chance to his children, God is saying, I'm faithful to the end. You know why this world, no matter how sinful this world is still being extended? God is still waiting for one more soul to come to Christ. One more soul. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God is faithful to the end. Malachi 3 verse 6, I am the Lord, I change not. He is faithful. 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 3, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. You know the verse that really touched me, I hope it does you too. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. You know you're the child of God, you're under God's grace all the days of your life. Don't get out of God's way. There's one more point. God is faithful to his word. He's faithful to his people. He's faithful to the end. God is faithful to himself. Look at verse number 10. After God says to 1,000 generations, God says, and repayeth them that hate him to their face to destroy them. He will not be slack to them that hateth him. He will repay him to his face. The Bible says there's one category of Christians or the Jews who will say, I will be faithful to God. God says, I will be faithful to you. I will be faithful to my word for you. I will be faithful to the end for you. There's another group of people who only live in the grace of God but forget the holiness of God. So in verse 10, God reminded the Jewish people, I will repay him to his face, the one who hates me, the one who doesn't choose me. The word hate doesn't have to be emotional hate. No Christian who is backslider will ever say that he hates God. You know what the problem is? You don't choose God in your decisions. You don't choose God in your decisions. I may not hate, let's say there are two plates of food. I just chose. I may not hate the other person. Let's say there's sausages and wagyu beef. Which will you choose? Sausages or wagyu beef? See? Mouth already. Does it mean you hate sausages? Not really. You know, as a Christian, you say, I still love Jesus. But you're not choosing him. You know, today, in modern-day Christianity, it's not whether you hate God or not. It's whether you choose him or not. That's a big difference. It's whether you choose him. In modern-day Christianity in Singapore, many Christians will still say they're Christians, but their life doesn't reflect the love because they have not chosen him in a decision. You know what's encouraging in the youth? I'm going to give up my K-pop. And he went back and told his friends, I'm not listening to that anymore. I'm choosing God. There was a very interesting question where I talked about music. One of the youth campers, those who remember, I talked about godly music and fleshly music. What about classical music? And I believe it was the Lord who gave me wisdom to answer that, and I believe it's very true. Classical music can make you a cultured person, but it will never give you a love for Jesus Christ. Say it again. Classical music will make you a cultured person, but you will never love Jesus Christ because you listen to classical music. Only when you hear hymns that say, great is thy faithfulness, is your spirit drawn towards our God. Does that make sense? It's not about whether you love Jesus or not. I'm sure if I say, do you love Jesus? Oh, put a hand. My question is, in your practical life, do you choose Jesus? That's the demonstration. If there's two ladies here, whom I choose, it's going to be my wife. I say, no, both of them are pretty, because my wife will punch me in the face, right? This is 理所当然, you know, in Chinese means it's natural. Because I love my wife. I don't care. I don't care if you're Miss Universe. You're not my wife. So I choose my wife any day. Because in her mind, if I don't choose her and say, well, okay, that's quite good, what would she think? What do you think God thinks when you choose the world over him? What do you think God thinks when you choose the wrong decision? God, I still love you. What do you think God thinks? For a while, could we just put ourselves in a place of God? What do you think God thinks when we don't choose the right music? What do you think God thinks when you don't choose the right friends? What do you think God thinks? The God who died for you. What do you think God thinks when you don't choose to give your time to him, but choose your time to give to someone else? I still love Jesus. Oh, yeah? It baffles me that Christians can go for years without serving God and still say he loves Jesus. No, you don't. No, you don't. Jesus gave his life for you. That's how much he loved you. He showed it in his actions. Please don't say you love Jesus if you're not willing to sacrifice time. Sacrifice sleep. Sacrifice inconvenience to sleep. Now, I want to present to you a God that is so judgmental. I've presented you 3 points that say God is totally faithful. But for us to only think God is all grace and no holiness, you have a lopsided view of God. That even when I do wrong, God is able to close one eye. You know why God is able to close one eye? Because Jesus has already paid for it at the cross. And he's waiting for you to understand that so that you can give up your sin and come back to him. You know why you're still alive today? In the Old Testament, if you disobey God, you could be death by stoning or you could be judged severely. But you know what? God is faithful to himself. The faithfulness of God is in two directions. God is faithful to those who choose to stay with him. And all the promises that God made to his people, he will keep. However, God will also be faithful to those promises that he has made to those who will not follow him. You know, many times we take this God as faithful to mean that, oh, I will always have the goodness of God. Yes, we will. And I'm not speaking to those who are struggling and say, Lord, I really want to walk with you, you know, but God, please help me. And then you fall. You know, I don't know about you, Song Ling is going to experience this in a few months' time when Eliza tries to walk but doesn't quite make it. What will you do? You better get out and walk, okay? You better get out. You're not going to do that, right? For someone who is trying and you know she has no intention of disobeying, but it's just, I can't. What would the father and mother do? Come on, let's try. Come. Hey, Song Ling, go nearer. Lah. Wait, you're not ahead, okay? Is he a knockhead already? The father will chide himself for not giving more time. What? Because we love, and they are trying, they're coming. You know what? God gives promises to people who put their faith in God and try. Babies always like, parents are like that. Come to Papa. Hey, he can walk the first step already. We're so happy. And then fall down. That's okay. Just try. God is not looking for the outcomes of you constantly walking with God, but God is saying, where's your heart with every step you take? Every step you take. Every Sunday, where is your heart? Every time in the morning you wake up, where is your heart? For some of you, first open a knee, what? Swipe. I don't know what games you play. I had to try myself. The first thing sometimes I like to do is go to Facebook. I said, you, Johnny, you better face the book first. Bible, lah. Before you go in Facebook, you need to hear what God says first before what people says. It's a struggle. But where's your heart? Where's your heart? And it's so important for us to understand. God doesn't want us to. You know why? God wants us to be disciplined in loving him. It's not forced. Some of you love what you do, and you will force yourself to get up. There was one time we went to Malaysia for a trip. We went to the durian plantation. What? You know, you've asked them to come to church on Sunday, not church now, but any activities, school, don't church, say school, okay? Oh, sin, man, go to school. And you usually do this. We thank God that sometimes schools are near, right? So we wake up 10 minutes before. We brush our teeth the night before, right? Some even wear uniform before. So the moment you get up, you just go to school. But you know, this time you go during plantation. Even before, we're supposed to meet at 4:30, we're going to drive in, the guys wake up at 3:30. Hey, are we going now? Please, I still got some time. Why? Because of your motivation. Are you motivated to wake up earlier to come to church? Are you motivated to wake up earlier to read your Bible and pray? You know, in stressful Singapore, it is one of the hardest things to give up your sleep. It's the hardest thing to give up your sleep. But would you give up your sleep for Jesus? That's a challenge. God is faithful to himself. When we are faithful to Christ, he will certainly be faithful to him. But when we will not be faithful to Christ, or at least we don't choose him first in our decision making. You know, sometimes God just lets us suffer the natural consequences of backsliding. I was talking to someone, and he said he committed himself to Christ. But what he said was this: okay, I've decided that I'll ask God's opinions on my decision. I look at him and say, when you give yourself to Jesus, you don't ask God for his opinions. You ask God for his instructions. That's a big difference. Because when you love Jesus with all your heart, and when you're touched by God's word, you say, God, now I understand. It's not about me trying, it's about me submitting to you and surrendering my heart to you. So Lord, what would I have me to do? It's calm, you're settled, you've already counted the cost, you know you may lose out on things. But you say, no, Lord, it's you first. And we went through, me and my wife went through the lawsuit when we were being sued by City Harvest because I said that what they were doing was wrong. It was hard in spiritual struggle. I said, Lord, should I just retract? Or, you know, just write apology, then everything is okay. You know what challenged me? When my wife came up to see, even we have to sell the house to fight the courts in here. Well, when your wife is with you, you can take on the world, man. I become superhero. Thank God that she's willing to give up everything so that in the name of God, we're not trying to pride ourselves. We're still sinners. I'm trying to tell you that we struggle with decisions like this. But our God is a faithful God. Who is behind bars today? He is faithful to the end. Our God will never fail us. We don't have much in our family. But our children are sometimes bigger than usual. God has provided every single need. I'm telling you that God takes none of those who are willing in their hearts to say, I understand now, Lord, how much you love me. I'm all yours. You may not get the things of this world. God is faithful in his promises as well, his judgment. We being sinners, for those who are not Christians, we being sinners are on the way to hell. You know what? I wonder how our Heavenly Father feels every time he has to send, or the Lord Jesus feels. I wonder how the Lord Jesus feels every time he has to send someone to hell. This is my imagination. But I figured that he will be crying. Depart from me, he cursed. Into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. You know what Jesus will say? I died for you so that you don't have to go there. If you're a Christian, not a Christian here, would you hear the heart of God for you? He's faithful. The fact that he's still alive today shows that he's faithful. He wants us to come to Christ. As we close, Christian, what is your response to God who is faithful to you? Let's turn to Daniel chapter 3, verse 16 to 18. I'll just have two passages and then we'll finish. I know I'm... But in Daniel chapter 3, verse 16 to 18, let me just read, okay? This is a powerful passage for every challenge to challenge you, Christian. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If he be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver out the hand, O king. Number one, can you see how convinced the Hebrew children are of the faithfulness? They have to trust God with all their hearts. That if God, king, you know, we respect you as king, but you're no match for our God. That's what the Hebrew children say. You're no match for my God. If you throw me in, God's going to save us. But you know what? That's not the passage. It's not just, they're so convinced in their heart, but I want you to notice verse 18. But if not. You know what's that? That's conviction. That, King Nebuchadnezzar, we are very confident God can save me or cast out of the fire. We are very, very confident because he's more powerful than you. Verse 18 says, King, listen carefully. Even if God doesn't say, even if King, you throw us into the fire, we will still not bow down to you. You know why? Because the three Hebrew children are so convinced of the goodness, the faithfulness, the power of God in their lives, that even if God chooses, guess who's in charge of their lives? Not them. God. So even if God says, go into the fire, we will still not bow down to you because we will commit our souls as unto a faithful creator in well-doing. We will still obey God in the fire, whether God saves us or not. Would you still trust God if you don't get the A-level, O-level results you want? Would you still trust God if all your bank account were gone? Would you still trust God if your whole life are broken when you haven't done anything wrong? Would you still trust God if your job gives you extreme stress that breaks down your, you will still say, I give praise to God? Would you still trust God? It shows how much we understand who God is. At the end of this, for those young people who have made decisions in Jesus Christ, I'm not perfect, but I followed the Lord for the last 30 years. I've not found him to fail me, and he will not fail you too. He will not. But are you willing to say, God, even if I go into the fiery furnace or having nothing in this life, I will still not bow down to the gods of this world? What is the most valuable in your life? That when God says, would you choose this or would you choose me? If you choose me, means no man can serve two masters. We can say we are Christians. And salvation is based on our repentance from sin and faith in Christ. And we'll receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's salvation. But if Christians, you've just stopped there, you would be like the prodigal son who knows all the goodness of the Father and still wants it in peace. But you know what? The Father was still waiting, is he not? He was still faithful. But Brother Johnny, you know, I'm thankful for one thing. The older Christians in the faith, I want to share with you a testimony that broke my heart, that challenged me. The young people at youth camp were crying that they had to surrender things they love for Jesus Christ. They were crying. Why must I give this? Yeah, I know I have to follow Jesus. And for us as adults, who are many years Christians, we seem to think that we can do what we want. Surrender, in fact, should be incremental and be at a higher level. That when a young Christian see it, I understand what surrender is. I understand what surrender is. Some of you are fathers who have children who is looking out at how much you are willing to surrender to Christ. You know what I learned? As a pastor, this church will be as surrendered as the pastor. You have the choice. But I'm thankful if you all go further than that. But I realized one thing. And God convicted my heart. How willing are you to surrender your life? I still love comfort, convenience. Who doesn't? But our God is more faithful and he deserves more. Amen. Our Savior deserves more. But let's turn to the last passage in Matthew chapter 19, verse 27 to 30. To help younger believers who say, why should I do this? Why should I trust in my faithful God and be willing to put away things? In Matthew chapter 19, verse 27, guess what? If you ask the questions, you are not the first one. The disciples ask the questions too. Okay? In Matthew chapter 19, verse 27 to 30, it says, then answered Peter and said unto them, listen, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? The same question? we have left all and followed you. What are we going to have? And then Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, this refers to the second coming, ye shall sit also upon 12 thrones, joining the 12 tribes of Israel. Firstly, God gave a specific promise. You and I are not going to sit on the 12 thrones of Israel, judging the 12 tribes, okay? Because these are specific to the 12 apostles. Of course, Judas Iscariot is kicked out. Perhaps Paul will be the next one. I don't know. But 12 tribes specifically, God gave a promise to the children of Israel. Oh, sorry, to the apostles. You are going to have 12 thrones. Well, then not fairly. What about us? We are not apostles. Let's read on. And everyone that have forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake shall receive an hundredfold and shall inherit eternal life. It's interesting that God did not tell us what the hundredfold was. But God promises this. If you follow me, you're going to have 100 times what you ever dreamed of. You know, for those who, you know, as a pastor, I cannot tell you what God will reward you with. I can tell you in my own life what God has rewarded me with. God has rewarded me with a wonderful wife. He stuck through it with me thick and thin. God gave me 4 children who love the Lord and want to serve. They're not perfect. That's the last thing. It's not perfect. God gave us health. Now we do have scares, you know. One of our children got bronchitis, or rather similar to bronchitis. They have fractured their hands before. They have, they had diarrhea before that day when I was sleeping. And I was, you know, at night when you sleep with your children, they were very young. And then you kind of, when they're having diarrhea, whole night, so you're very tired, you slept, right? And suddenly your face turned towards the diaper. You're like, whoa! Woke up. They have their sicknesses. We all have our problems in life. But Jesus said, he who have forsaken lands and houses will receive 100-fold. You know what's a great blessing? You guys are a great blessing to us as a family. You know what's a blessing in the youth camp? The workers who sacrifice sleep and health to serve. What's a blessing to see young people surrendering to Christ? These are blessings that you cannot see in dollars or gold. I'm saying this because some of you are also blessed. You have children who are healthy. You have children. I know for some who feel, but Rajonia, I may not have the best deal, but you know what? God is still faithful to you. He always have been, always will be. As we close, there's one word. Would you come? Knowing that we have a faithful God, will you be faithful to Him? To Him first. And in every decision you make, in now on, say, Lord, I don't know all that's involved, but I'll trust You first. I'll trust You first. Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father, I pray and thank You that You help us to love a faithful God. Lord, thank You that Your word teaches us so clearly that You are the faithful God. That, Lord, even in the midst of the judgment and the rebellion of the children of Israel, You fed them, You took care of them. You didn't even mention anything of your sin except one time You dealt with them. But You still gave them the promised land as a nation. You still protected them. You still clothed them. You still gave them shoes. You still gave them water to drink. You still gave them bread to eat. 40 long years until they went to the promised land. Lord, as a church, as individuals, we come to You. And Lord, firstly, we want to thank You for Your love towards us. Oh Lord, Your love is so wonderful, so awesome. Lord, that seeing our life, there is nothing for You to love, and yet You do love us. You do love us. And the Bible is so clear, You do love us. But Lord, moving forwards and growing in our Christian life is what You're after. Because we know that no parent wants their child to be stuck in a non-growing state. They will just be over and over and doing the same thing, not growing. Help us, Lord, to want to grow in Christ. Your eyes closed, heads bowed. I'm just going to ask a few questions. Number one. If you're a Christian and you will still say you love Jesus, but you haven't really chosen what He loves. It just means that you've not put Him first. I'm asking you, is God speaking to your heart that says, I'm a faithful God to you. Would you be a faithful child to me? Would you be a faithful child to me? To follow what I say, God's not going to ask you to go full time. He might. You know what God says? He that's faithful in the little. God just wants us to be faithful in the small things. I say, Lord, thank you for speaking to me. And if that's your heart and you say, Pastor, God has spoken to my heart, I need to learn to choose God more in all my decisions, whether it's friends, whether it's relationships, whether it's music, whether it's even my career and my life, even where I go for holiday, I need to put God first. You're saying, Pastor, pray for me that I will learn in all my decisions, every step of the way, to always decide for God and show my love for Him. Because He's so faithful to me. So the motivation is important. You want to do it not because Pastor said something about my life, but because I've understood how faithful God is to me. And I want to follow Him. Is there someone like that? Pastor, pray for me. From now on, I want to choose Christ in my decisions. Is there someone like that? Just put up your right hand, I'll pray for you. Oh, amen, I see those hands. And is there someone else? All the youth are putting up their hands, amen. Put it up and put it down, and then pray in your heart and tell God exactly what you're struggling with, and tell Him, I'm decided, put this away, I'll put you first in my decisions, whether it's friends, whether it's studies, whether it's anything. Thank God for some adults as well. And someone else, I just want to put God first. All right, the next one. Next question. If you are here, you're a Christian, and perhaps you're in the wilderness for a long time. I said, God has been faithful to me. I'm still alive, man. But I know I haven't been serving Him. Pastor, pray for me. I'd like to come back to God because He's so faithful to me. He's given me so much. And maybe in the midst of all the things that have happened, I've forgotten my responsibility and love to Him. There's someone who said, Pastor, pray for me. I want to come back to God. In the process, I've counted the cost, I'm going to put away whatever I need to put away so I can follow God. Whether it's what I think, whether it's the situations that have happened, put it away to follow Christ and serve Him and choose Him. Is there someone like that? I'm going to give up. Say, amen, I see that hand again. Is there someone else? Amen, I see that hand. Amen, that hand. Right, as you are doing that, ask God to put away whatever that's in your heart that's holding you back. Reminding yourself of the faithfulness of God. Okay, one last question. If you're here, you're not a Christian. God is still faithful to you because you're still alive. But God says, would you come and accept Christ as a personal Savior? Is there someone like that? I'm not a Christian, but I want to be. Is there someone like that? All right, let's pray. Father, I pray for the brethren, especially the youth who have put up their hands. I'm sure they understood the messages. It's just a reinforcement a lot of what we talk about in camp. But Father, you're a faithful God. We know that. You're a faithful God. You're faithful to the end, and you're faithful to us, and you're faithful to your own word. But Lord, help us know you're faithful to yourself as well. And then Lord, you will not hesitate to love us and have mercy when you can see the mercies there. When you can see the surrender, when you see the weakness we have and our honesty with you. But Lord, I pray that when we struggle, I pray that you, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you will stay with us in the fire of our struggle, and that, Lord, you'll give us victory. Lord, I pray for these brethren, brothers and sisters who put up their hands today and say, I'm giving God my life. Not just my heart, my life. That I will reflect Him in everything that I do. Lord, help them. Give them your grace. Every step when they make the right decision, strengthen their resolve. Give them clarity of mind and heart in their decisions of their life. And help them and give them people who will call on you with a pure heart together that they might walk the Christian life. And in the struggles of giving up things and giving up opinions, I pray that your Holy Spirit will give them the resolve to say, though none goes with me, still I will follow. The world behind me, the cross before me. And because they have decided to follow Jesus. Heavenly Father, I pray and thank you. I pray that everyone who is here will truly understand what a faithful, faithful God you are. And that, Lord, you want us to be faithful to you too. Thank you, Lord, for what we're going to do. Bless our fellowship and bless our lunch and all that. And I pray as we leave this place that we'll know how faithful you are. Help us to be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That even at the cost of their own lives, they will still do the right thing. We'll thank you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.